Here's another one, not for YouTube. It's called reprogramming. So what is reprogramming? Essentially, it is changing your memories into ones that are now beneficial to you. Is it doable? Yes. Does it have a purpose? Yes. When this was presented to me, it was when I was understanding that time and memories aren't what we think they are. And we have a lot more control over this than we think we do. Then it turned into understanding what PTSD is and the post-traumatic stress and what it does to someone. And I'm very passionate about this, particularly for military and anything to do with service of country, and to any first responders. And this is, I'm very passionate about this because they're a group of people who make it their job to do the things that are necessary, usually to save others. And they are not given the tools on how to handle it after the fact. And I'm not military. I don't have a military background. I don't have anything associated to the military or any of the first responders. My grandparents were military, but that's it. And that's not enough for me to have a passion for military. What I have a passion for is the people who sign up for this. That's who I have a passion for. It's not what they do. It's why they do it. And same with the first responders, police, paramedics, fire department. It's not what they do. It's why they do it. So for me, if I can give them something that is going to make it so that they don't have to have PTSD, that they don't have to have this crippling, they're calling it a disorder, as part of their job, then this is something that needs to be given to them. So here's what it is. First of all, we have to understand what PTSD is. PTSD is not the act of something horrible happening. It's the memory of it. The memory of an event that you couldn't cope with in whatever reason, and it now replays into your life, affecting you by taking you back to that moment when you're not actually there. With it then being compounded by triggers that get added on every time it replays. So it's tricky and it's shitty and it's tough. So how do we deal with this? The only thing required is the person with the PTSD and another person who gives a shit. That's it. No medicine, no group chat with a lady in a coat with a clipboard. Two people. That's it. That's all that's needed. And the crucial part is the person who gives a shit. For military, it needs to be someone who's an equal, soldier to soldier. For police, cop to cop, paramedic to paramedic, fireman to fireman. They have to be seen as equal. Nobody understands a cop better than another cop. Nobody understands a soldier better than a soldier. And there has to be that that foundational understanding for this to work. So here's what you do. I'm going to give the analogy of two soldiers. PTSD soldier and the soldier who's there to listen. PTSD soldier is going to share the very closest experience of the PTSD trigger, the most recent episode that happened. And the person who's listening, just going to listen completely and intently. And after that's said a few times, the emotion involved in that is going to start to dwindle. And it does need to be said until there is no emotion. So the listener has to get the victim to keep talking and to keep saying it. If they start to leave pieces out, the listener has to say, start again. You're leaving pieces out. Eventually, you work your way back to the big moment. Now, ideally, this whole thing gets done directly after something happens. Not 10 years later, when we've added on all these triggers. So if we've added on all these triggers and there's a 10-year gap from when the actual episode happened, we have to work our way back. But ideally, we want to do it as soon as possible. So let's say only 6 months has gone by. The event itself is irrelevant. It doesn't have to be awful. It doesn't have to be blood and guts. It doesn't have to be terrifying. It just has to be enough that it has screwed you up. You're having nightmares about it. You've got guilt about it. You can't think because of it. That's PTSD. So when that event affects your everyday after, we have to fix it. So what reprogramming does is, first of all, we have to make it so that the victim is now numb to the memory. Now, how you become numb to the memory is by talking about it. And you have to talk about it to the listener. And as the victim, you have to say it exactly how it happened with your emotions. And the first time you go over it, you are going to be angry. The next time you go over it, you're going to be angry. The third time you're going to go over it, you're going to be angry. But you're going to be a little bit less angry than the first time. The listener has to get you to say it again. Not let you leave. Not let you go, oh, I feel better. Thanks for listening. No. Sit back down. Do it again. And you're going to keep going over it until you can relive it in your mind with no emotion. It's in this moment that choices are now available. It can be left where there's no emotion and you can maneuver through your life fine. You won't have guilt about it. You won't be traumatized because of it. There won't be any problems. But if it comes down to being a scenario where you wish you had acted differently in that moment, the outcome still has to be the same, but you wish you had done something differently. This is the reprogramming part. We can get you to relive that moment in your mind by having you go through it and now changing the part that you wish you'd done differently. It could be as simple as you did walk through the door. Or you did run. Or you did do CPR or you did do whatever, the outcome is still the same. So if it's about someone dying because you didn't do something, we can change it so that you did do something, but they still died. We can't change the death part of it, but we can change how you mentally are about it. That's significant. Is it wrong? No. You change your memories all the time. Everybody does. Everybody, over enough time, innocently, changes their own memories about what happened to better suit them. Something lousy happens in your life, you start getting a hate on for that person and you don't like it, you start to change over time those events so that they become bigger and more terrible and more lousy, and it starts to feed your hatred of that person. Did they happen? No. But you're adding bits and pieces. You're changing your memory bit by bit. We know memory is not a reliable source of information. They know it now in court. They cannot depend on eyewitnesses remembering what happened because your mind changes things. You convince yourself of other things. So why not use this ability of unreliable information, and instead of carrying it around with you and refusing to see it any different way and having it eat away at your life, go back and change it. Change the memory. Make it so that you can live with yourself and what happened. That's the power of this. We can make it so that you did close your eyes and you didn't see it. We can, the power of the mind in terms of what we can do working with the five senses that you've had in the moment that created the memory in the first place. We have control over that. And we need to see that we have that. So reprogramming is literally changing your memory of one particular event where you did one particular set of actions and changing those actions to be a different set of actions. Remembering that the end result is still the same, but what you did in that moment is now different. Oh, this is big, really, really big. You know, when you go looking into the budget for veterans, specifically for dealing with PTSD, it's pathetic. They pay some of these ridiculous people with a clipboard to come in who have no military experience at all. And they put a bunch of soldiers together who've been through hell and tell them in a group session that we'll talk about it. We'll work through it. That's horseshit. Every soldier there knows it. And that person sitting there with the clipboard knows damn well it's not working. There is no one person in the world that can connect to a broken soldier better than another soldier. And this has to get fixed. And I know the soldiers out there who have a brother or a sister in arms who is broken, they would do anything to fix them. This is how you do it. You don't need training. You don't need anything to help you do this. You just have to have the time, and you have to be willing to see them and hear them and go through it with them until there's no more emotion. Then you make your decisions on how you want to handle that moment. And it works. It works really, really well. You've seen it. You've seen people who've convinced themselves of things that haven't happened, that they swear up and down did. It's there. I have a sister who is unbelievably convinced that she had an entirely different childhood than we did. It was as if she wasn't there at all. And completely convinced of all of these events that took place when they never did. And it isn't one person against hers. There's even photographs that say that she's wrong. But her mind has made that what happened. And as a result, she lives her life according to that. It's everywhere. It's absolutely, you see these people who convince themselves that what they're doing, they believe is right for the world, right for their family. And the whole world can see it's really wrong, but they're convinced of it. So reprogramming is such a powerful tool that we just aren't using and we're not utilizing. Now, when this comes to other types of victims, rape victims, car accidents, people that have been held against their will, even people who are getting out of jail that, were traumatized in jail. They need this. They really do need this. You need to have someone that you can connect with who's either gone through the similar thing or at least is connected to you in a way that you trust them. And that's going to be tricky because the first thing that disappears out of a rape victim's life is trust. It's gone. Gone in a blink. You're hard-pressed, in my opinion, to find a woman who hasn't been raped in one way or another. It's not fun. And out of all the women that I know, I can tell you it's probably 65 to 75%. That's really high. Really, really high. Now, there's degrees of rape. There's the holy shit terrifying one. And then there's where you just said no, but you know who he is. You know, you put yourself into the position. And you just couldn't get out of it. So there are varying degrees. There's even the moments where you thought you did and partway through you said no. Can it be traumatizing? Yeah. Does this help? Yes. But this can also be used in terms of getting over fears and phobias that were created from other people. And I know you're probably going, what the hell does that mean? Well, this is a silly example, but my whole life, I've always thought I've hated cloves, the spice, cloves, because my mom had said cloves are disgusting. They ruin everything. They're the worst spice in the world. They should, no one should ever have cloves in their kitchen. For a long time, I was a big Pepsi drinker. Big. And I'm talking like holy moly Pepsi. 12 cans a day. Easy. Along with a couple packs of cigarettes. Clove is one of the main spices in Pepsi. It's huge. Unbelievable. Turns out, I really like cloves. I don't know what the hell she's talking about, but I was absolutely convinced that cloves were revolting. Fears that are given to you can be very powerful ones, and you don't even realize where they came from. You could suddenly and be very convinced that you have a fear of heights. And so your whole life, you have never gone up on a ladder. You've never climbed a tree because you are so convinced that you have a fear of heights. And it turns out it's not yours. It's your dad's fear of heights. And you just took it on as yours. There's never been a reason to be on a ladder. There's never been a reason to climb a tree. So it's just added to it. Then you see some scary movies or some events where people fell off buildings or, you know, the bungee cord snapped or the parachute didn't open. And it compounds that fear. Reprogramming gets rid of that. But again, you need someone you trust. And you need to say, look, I think I've got a fear of heights. It's not good. I need to get rid of it. And so you start going back to all the things that scare you that pop up first. And when we're dealing with these kind of fears, usually we've got to work backwards until we reach you being a kid. Because somewhere in there is when it first was introduced. And when we can undo that one, it's good. You're now fine. You can jump out of airplanes. It's great. There are other groups of people, is what I'm going to call it. Because I can't say that it's a company, because they're not a company. But I can't say that they're a religion, even though I think they're classified as one, but I'm not entirely sure. But anyway, you can figure out already who I'm talking about. And I'm not a naysayer against this group. I think there's a lot of validity to a lot of the things that they do, this particular group. There are some things that I don't necessarily agree with. However, they have a program that's very similar to this, but they use electrical devices that you hang on to. And it determines essentially whether or not you are really getting through it. Are you really now not having an emotional response? And it reads it through body language, identical to a lie detector test. Is it accurate? Is it helpful? Yep. Particularly based on the fact that how they do it isn't necessarily done with an equal. They do it with someone who doesn't know you or doesn't know of you or essentially is a stranger. And that's where the mistake is. It shouldn't be a stranger. It should be someone who cares. And when it's someone who cares, you don't need the electrical devices to determine whether or not you really are working through it. However, with all that, that particular part of their understanding and their practice, I think is fantastic. I really do. I guess if you had to use a stranger, you would want a way to measure whether or not you really are getting through the emotions with it. And significant benefits come from that. We are a group of people living on this spinning rock who have a bad habit of passing on fears and phobias like a cold virus. Just by talking to other people and passing on your experience, you now are passing on the problems that go with it. And that's huge. That's a big, big problem. And I really don't know how to get to the place where these fears and phobias and traumas are no longer happening, because I first need to see the cure, the help being passed around first before I can start to see everything else undo. So that's it. That's the reprogramming. It just takes you and someone else who gives a shit to really get it done. And I'm telling you, if you're listening to this and you have any say in any military or any first responder programs, and you have any kind of say at all, implement this into your programs. Get soldiers to talk to soldiers. Police talking to police. Firemen talking to firemen. Paramedics talking to paramedics. It doesn't cost anything. Not a single thing. Bring your budget down to zero. You don't need it. No one needs to make money off of making someone feel better. So that's it. That's reprogramming. One more that cannot go on YouTube. Thanks for listening.